episode really is going to be about who is our tribe, what is a tribe, and talking to you all about who we really think our audience is. And it might surprise you with a title like Hustlin' in Heels. Everybody, and welcome back to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy.
And I'm your co-host, Angie. I'm obviously new to this. Second episode in, guys.
That's right. That's right. So we are excited that you're joining us wherever you might be joining us. Maybe it's Wednesday as soon as our pod has dropped, or maybe you're saving us for the weekend. You got to drive, you're heading out of town, or you're doing some work around the house. Wherever and whenever you're listening to us, we appreciate that you are going to spend some time with us today, because we want to spend some time with you.
100%.
So tonight is just us in the studio, and we have some delicious wine that we are drinking that Angie brought. So I'm going to let her tell you all about what we're drinking tonight.
Yeah, guys. So I brought some wine from Iron Hand Vineyard. It's an Iron Hand winery in South Bend, Indiana. So although we're here in Michigan, we've got a sister state right over the border, Indiana, which is fantastic and kind of widens our options for wine. And I happened to go to a book club a couple of days ago, and it was amazing there, and tried their wine and brought a bottle with me today. It's called Henri, and it's a red wine. I tend to go sweet, but this is a Bordeaux. I hope I said that right. Again, I'm a white wine drinker. But it's really mild, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, so. I'm sure you said it right. And if there are folks out there that want to correct our pronunciation, just don't, because we're not wine snobs. You know what we like? Wine. Any kinds. We might say them properly. We might not, but we're still drinking them.
Yeah. Also, I'm a writer by day, and so by night, I try not to pronounce things correctly.
That's a way to live your
Sorry.
Life. All grammar goes out the window after 5 p.m.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes goes out the window after the first drink.
Yes.
Which is fine. We got to hang out with our executive producer, Michael Busing, tonight in the studio for a little while before we put on our headphones. So we couldn't convince him to stick around, but we were able to talk to him a little bit about the podcast and about who we are talking to. And so that's going to kind of unfold as we talk about this episode, because this episode really is going to be about who is our tribe, what is a tribe, and talking to you all about who we really think our audience is. And it might surprise you with a title like Hustlin' in Heels, don't you think, Ange?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hustlin' in Heels is one of those things where, I mean, not everybody hustles in heels. I'd be barefoot all year long if I could be. Mm-hmm. My mom would tell you stories about how I would wear open-toed shoes in the middle of winter with 4 feet of snow to the bus stop, and it horrified her often. I still do it. It's great. I think closed-toed shoes are restricting. And there are probably a lot of people that think heels are restricting. They would be right. So yeah, I think our tribe includes all kinds of people, barefoot, tennis shoes, boots, steel-toe boots. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you all know I'm a fan of heels, but not every day. You know, sometimes I like to trade those heels in for my camo hunting boots. Sometimes I like to trade them in for my trusty Toms. It really just depends on the mood. So I guess to start us off here, what might be important is to say that Hustlin' in Heels, while it, yes, is a celebration of hustlers out there, hustlers come in all forms, shapes, sizes, come from all different backgrounds. And what we really want to celebrate are just those universal themes, really, that bring us all together. The celebrations, the struggles that come with trying to live this life of every day I'm hustling, you know, and that takes so many different forms. And what we've been blessed with really is a lot of listeners who have provided feedback to us that say, you know what, I don't wear heels, but I love your show. And what we want to say is, absolutely, just because we do, and just because we really like alliteration with the name of our show, doesn't mean that it's an inclusive, I'm sorry, doesn't mean that it's an exclusive tribe. What we're working on is an inclusive tribe. So let's talk about that whole idea of tribe, I guess, on a smaller level. So I just said level with a B.
Again, grammar. Right back to grammar. It's after five, it's okay.
Y'all know what I meant. So let's talk about what is a tribe. So when I say that to you, Ange, what are you talking about?
What are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
You know, this is really hard for me. So you were just talking about all of these universal things that brings us together. And I think a really large universal thing that brings everybody together is taboo subjects, subjects that are really tough to talk about. And, you know, a tribe for me, I'm still defining that, you know. I think, you know, to let listeners in on a little bit of background for me, I have a brother who's about 11 years younger than I am. So I was really raised as an only child and didn't necessarily have a strong support group as I grew up. I've strengthened some of those relationships since then. But, you know, in your formative years, it can be really tough. I wasn't the popular girl in high school, those sorts of things. So my tribe really sort of growing up was me. And it's been sort of tough to define as I've gotten older. You know, so when I think of a tribe at the moment, I'm the core of that. You know, selfish as that might seem, I'm my survival, kind of. But I'm building that. As I get older, I'm finding that I find more joy in the people that I surround myself with because I trust them. For a really long time, I had a hard time trusting people. And so I think it was building up to that. But I know you have an opposite experience.
Well, we wouldn't be co-host if we didn't have opposite experiences and backgrounds. So when I think tribe, I think growing up of my giant family. We just celebrated the life of my great uncle Harold this past Monday. He lived a long, lovely life. He was the oldest of four in the Wallstrom clan, and it was him and two other boys and then my grandma. So my grandma since passed away. She passed away 8 years ago, but she was kind of the light of my life. She was a little bit of my heart. So when I think tribe, I think of the giant family that I have in my beloved town of Buchanan. And why I bring the celebration of life up is because when we were at the funeral, one of my family members was talking in front of all of us. And he said, you know, one time, you know, my friend came to town and they said, you know, I can't throw a rock in this town without hitting a Wallstrom. And that's because we just... We had lots of babies, and we just kind of multiplied, and we all stayed around this area. So we had I had a large family on my mom's side, and then I also had a large family on my father's side as well. So growing up, I had seemingly millions of cousins, and I had this large family tribe where we would get together for large meals on Sundays at my grandma's, and we'd, you know, we would just spend a lot of time together, and I always felt this sense of security within that tribe. And I really identified myself as part of this large family unit that, you know, probably made up a quarter of the population of my town and still continues to this day. So my identity really resides within that large family unit. So that's what I originally think of when I think of a tribe. And I'm very blessed to have grown up with that and to still have that support. When I think of tribe today, that's expanded to my tribe of friends. I just have, you know, an incredible group of friends, both men and women, who I can count on. You know, I could call them up at any time of day and they'd be there for me. And I hope they can say the same for me. So to me, tribe has always been family and friends that have become like family, that were, it's kind of like Old West style, you know, like we got each other's back, you know. the whole Doc Holliday Wyatt Earp, like that speaks to me as the tribe idea. But I'm fortunate in that, and I realize that, and that has provided a stable background. But that's what tribe really means to me.
Which makes sense. And as you talked, I think about, so when I moved back from New York, I was blessed with making a really good friend whom is a part of a large family. And he and I became very, very close. And just like you just said, they legitimately, they welcome everybody with open arms.
Sure.
And I'm now like best friends with his sister-in-law, and I know the entire family, and they all came to my wedding, and, you know, they celebrate your victories and they grieve with you during your losses.
Yep.
And those sorts of things. So coming from somebody who didn't necessarily have that, I really, really appreciate that. That sense of security that you were talking about, mm-hmm. I think that I hadn't really felt until I came back and had that through my friends. I'm also blessed. My husband has a rather large family as a sister and a couple of brothers, and my mother-in-law is fantastic. And, you know, they welcomed me as well. So they are now a part of my tribe, mm-hmm. I suppose. So
sure.
As you talked about that, sometimes it's about recognizing your tribe
yeah.
too, right?
Yeah.
So as much as I sit here and talk about being the core of my own tribe, the more you talked, the more I recognized how many incredible people I really do have in my life that I could call up a moment's
yeah.
notice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we talk about, okay, definition of tribe, we talk about HIH tribe all the time. Really, we're trying to build a network, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to build a network of support, of people who will have your back. So when I think of tribe, I think these are the people that you surround yourself with that protect you and support you. So they celebrate with you at your best. They pick you up at your worst. And I guess that's my best definition of tribe.
So how do you build that? If you are somebody like I was.
Sure.
And, you know, really not distrustful, but a little cautious,
mm-hmm.
right? About trusting people, and perhaps you really don't have a whole lot of people in your life that support you or whom you trust. As how do you start to build that?
How do you do it?
Well, lately.
And the reason I ask is because I don't know how to answer that question, because
you've always had
I've always had it,
yeah.
you know, and I'm lucky in that sense. So mm-hmm. I don't know how to build it, other than the way that I've built it is I've recognized that I have a supportive tribe and I have a large tribe. So I invite others into my tribe.
Mm.
So how do you build it?
Well, thank you for inviting others into your tribe,
yes.
because that is why I'm sitting here right now.
Yeah.
But I talked about it a little bit in the last episode probably, but I've had to push myself outside of my comfort zone because I became very comfortable being alone. Became very comfortable being by myself and sustaining myself and getting myself through my problems and celebrating with myself over great victories. I became really comfortable with that. It's really hard to build a tribe when you're comfortable with that. So I had to start pushing myself outside of my limits, and I had to become a yes person instead of being afraid of those outside things, because by nature, I was always afraid to approach groups of women, or I got in my head a lot about, oh my gosh, well, what do they think of me? I can't believe I said that. It sounds really stupid. All of those sorts of things, and those insecurities sort of crept up that were instilled in me from high school.
Yeah, so you've felt that in your life, like
I still do.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, let's get real honest. I still do. There are moments that I can walk into a room, and if people stop talking, my instant thought is, oh my gosh, I wonder what they were saying about me. And I get anxiety from it.
Sure.
And it drives me away from whatever is going on. And so I think it's something that people who are very social don't understand. And I think that it's something for people who it happens to is really tough to talk about. Because we sound kind of weird, but that's okay. That's what this is for, right?
That's exactly what this is for, because there are going to be many, many listeners who identify with what you're saying.
Sure.
And here's the other thing. if I'm a part of that group that you're approaching, because you're right, I'm a social person. I'm just going to say, like, I don't ever feel that way,
yeah.
right? Like, I walk into a room and I'm like, I want to talk to that person, that person, that person, that person. Okay. It's important for me to hear, too, because mm-hmm. I need to recognize that there are people walking into that room who are going to be walking up to my group of friends who have been friends since kindergarten and first grade. My tribe consists of people who I literally met when I was 5 years old. My mm-hmm. best friend, I met her on the very first day of kindergarten. Okay? So I need to recognize that there are people that are going to be looking at my tribe, walking into my tribe, who don't feel comfortable, and I need to be the person that says, hey, come on in. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Like, we want you to come hang with us. We want to talk to you. We want to hang out with you. We want to have a beer with you, you know? So I think it's important for both sides to recognize that.
And recognize that when you say that, they probably aren't going to believe you.
Yeah.
They're probably going to think that you're doing it out of an obligation.
Hmm.
That is yeah. 100%
I just really like to drink head. Beer.
And I actually believe you because this is how we became friends.
This is how we 100% became friends. Is. So we should talk about that. All right. So how did that happen then? Right? Well, like the whole idea of me being like, yeah, Angela, come hang out.
You did. You did. You and I tried to get out of it.
Right. Right.
It
right,
really, right. I did because it was uncomfortable for me. Yeah. So this Women Among Women group, and I think we've
mentioned talked about it. That
yeah,
a little bit.
We've mentioned mm-hmm. it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Stacey and I saw on Facebook, I mean, because mm-hmm. social media is everything at the moment, and I happened to see on Facebook that she was going to this group that kind of sounded really cool. And I was like, oh, I'm interested. And she really pushed me. And the girlfriend that was going to come with me wasn't able to come. And I had instant anxiety mm-hmm. because here I am walking into a room of women that I don't know. There's no way I'm going. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
So I messaged you and I was mm-hmm. like, hey, are you sure you're going to be there? With my fingers crossed that she wasn't going to be there so that I didn't have to go. And then like she, you kind of left me with no out.
Right, I was like, yeah, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Right.
But so, we didn't know each other well enough at that point. When I walked in, I was still uncomfortable.
Yeah, sure.
I still had anxiety about sitting down at a table of women and being able to feel normal.
Yeah. And to have a conversation, right? And to sure. act like you belong there, mm-hmm. which there have got to be millions of women who are – and men who are – identifying with what you're saying right now. Mm-hmm. And then there are other women and men who are identifying with what I'm saying who are like, just come sit down and talk. Like, I want you to sit right by me. I saved you a seat. Like, just come sit, you know?
Yeah.
So, but there are obviously both sides to this. And I love talking to you about it because if we're talking about building a tribe, we've got to be able to recognize that these both sides exist and that really what we want at the end of the day is really to develop this tribe and to have people around us that care about us. Mm-hmm. And we want all kinds of people around us that care about us. And we want to welcome those people into the group.
Absolutely. I do want to say this, though. I had to take some responsibility in some of that. I had to acknowledge that I wasn't stepping outside of my comfort zone and that maybe I was getting into my head a little bit too much and that if I wanted like-minded people around me, they weren't just going to come to me. Like it had to be a mutual sort of a thing and I had to push myself. I had to say, hey, I want to be included because if you don't say it, they don't know it. And that works in a lot of areas mm-hmm. of your life. And it's really easy to say, they didn't say anything to me, so obviously they don't want me there. And that's just not true. And it's really not fair. I'm thinking of the book club from Iron Hand just the other day. You know, we were talking about how to format the next book club and things like that. And I had a great idea. I actually stood up in front of the entire group and provided
my
idea.
So proud of you. That's because you're so smart.
I was so proud. Well, and here's the thing. So the woman, Anne-Marie, is the owner, and she is absolutely amazing. I'm just amazing in so many ways. But she looked at me and teasingly said, well, I thought you were going to be the bossy one. And I thought, oh my God, that's such a big compliment to me.
You're not normally the bossy one.
Nobody would ever think of me as loud enough and extroverted enough to be bossy. It was such a great compliment.
You are stepping way outside your comfort zone. Man,
I really
am. You are jumping.
But I'm loving life because of it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm really expanding my tribe. And I don't think your tribe has to necessarily be the people that are closest to you.
No.
I mean, this book club of women, there were 20 to 25 of us probably easily of all ages. It was absolutely amazing because there were all different experiences and careers that were represented and all of those sorts of things. And man, I consider them part of my tribe now too, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know them. I don't know the majority of them. I had some friends there, but the majority of them, I have no idea, but they're my book club tribe.
Yeah.
They don't have to know me intimately to be a part of the things that I love.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And because I do have different tribes. That is a great point. You know, like I have my core tribe, and I think I've said this before in season one, you know, I have friends that will help me move and friends that will help me move a body, right? So I have a core tribe of friends that will help me move a body. Now, I also try on purpose to surround myself with other tribes that are supportive as well. So I have my work tribe, man. Those mm-hmm. are, that's like my work family. I love those people, you know, like I support them, they support me, and we do great things together. You know, they're my tribe, they're my work tribe. And then I have my tribe in the Leadership Accelerator program that I'm a part of. And those are some impressive people. You know, those are the dreamers, the believers, the doers. Like, I want to be around those people. That's my tribe too. So I think you're right. I think there's all kinds of different tribes, and the whole purpose is to surround yourself with people that are supportive, that are helpful, that are loving, and that are positive, right?
And who push you.
And who push you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say some of the people I appreciate the most, because I appreciate everybody in my life mm-hmm. in so many ways. But I appreciate so much those who are able to offer me a different perspective that or opinion that spurs educational conversation
yes.
or provides me a different way to think of something. Because one of the things, and it's pretty cliche at this point, but you know, I'm going to take this to work, but from a management experience, one of the things they say an incredible manager does is they surround themselves with people who are strong at the things that they
yes.
are weak at. And I think that applies personally too. I want people to challenge me. Ask me why I believe something so I can defend it. And let's have a respectful conversation about it. But man, do I appreciate that.
I know. I'm with you. And I, you know, again, I think back to that Leadership Academy where they put these people in a room together who are on purpose from mm-hmm. different backgrounds, who have different personalities, you know, where you really are trying to develop yourself within this supportive network. You know, one of the things I've been trying to work on big time is I am like a strong extrovert and I talk a lot. So I have been I have been trying this year to be a better listener and like really trying to listen when people are talking and asking them about themselves and not being a fixer all the time and not trying to provide solutions and not jumping in when I think I have a good idea, you know? So I think, again, that's part of the tribe too, to have these people from, you know, different perspectives, different backgrounds who are going to help you grow, you know?
I'm going to insert something really quickly because I have a fixer problem too, or a solution. I try to come at things from either a devil's advocate perspective mm-hmm. or a solution-oriented mm-hmm. perspective. And I had some friendships that started to become a little damaged because of that, because sometimes people just want to vent.
Yes.
They're not looking for your opinion about anything, even if it's good advice. They're not looking for it. And one of the things that I've started doing to help build my relationships and build my friendships is stopping myself before I offer advice and say, are you looking to vent right now? Or would you like me to offer some advice? You know, honestly, just stopping, taking
yeah.
a step back, stopping that conversation and really asking what they want. And it's really, really helped me. And I found that they've started to do the same things for me. And it's really grown those friendships.
Yeah.
And it's actually grown my marriage as well. It's, you know, been a big tool there too. So
That's good.
I mean, we're talking about tribes and growing them and still, things like that. But
part of being in a tribe is doing your part, man, and like being a responsible member of that tribe and being a supportive member of that tribe. Because if you expect to surround yourself with supportive people, then you damn sure well better be willing to provide that support to them too, you know? So that's something I'm working on. Like I'm working on being a good friend. I'm working on being a better listener.
One of the things I've had a problem with in my tribes, you know, people, I don't keep a lot of people close to me. And when I say close, I mean the inner beings of Angie kind of a thing. And I had a really close friend whom I was like a sister to me. And we were having a conversation once and she was being a little different. And I just thought, you know, I don't know what's going on. And she finally said to me, I feel like I offer you up so much, but I don't ever get anything back. And it was so insightful because she was right. You know, sometimes I'm so comfortable listening that there's not that reciprocation there. And it impacted our friendship a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, I think that a part of a tribe that I think we'll get into on another episode, but is navigating those and it was really great insight.
Absolutely, because you have to develop your friendships just as you develop any kind of relationships, you know, and especially as you go through different stages in life. I mean, that's just part of it. All right, so we talked about what a tribe is to us. Why is it important to have one?
Oh, I mean, support, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
I think the older you get, not even older, that's not a fair word, but the more experience, the more life experience, the more life throws your way, the more curveballs that come, I think the more strength you gather from people who have experienced something similar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Going through stuff alone, man, that's tough.
It is tough.
It is tough. And it's tough to reach out too. It really is. It's tough to say, hey, I need help, especially if you're an independent person who, you know, handles things themselves and you don't want to look weak. Weak is a really – that's something tough to come to terms with. And so, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have relied on my tribe more this past year than probably in a long time. I mean, going through different life changes, and I've shared this before, but, you know, I went through a divorce this year, and that required a lot of support from my tribe. And not to say that it was ugly, and I'm not going to get into specifics at all, ever, on this podcast, but because I was married to a wonderful man who continues to be a wonderful man and a great father and a great friend of mine. So it's not that situation. It's just trying to find out who you are when you are no longer married and to rely on your tribe to kind of help you through the difficult times of your life. You know, divorce being one of them, obviously, but then just trying to figure out, you know, what you want to do with your life and trying to navigate your new normal. If I didn't have my friends and my tribe, I didn't have my family and my tribe to like reach out to when I was feeling down or when I was trying to figure out what my new normal is, I think that would have made for a much more difficult transition period than it already was. So I just appreciate that as my tribe as a support for me and as a home base, I guess. One thing my dad always said that he wanted to provide for his children was a home base, so that kind of like a safety net. So you could go out into the world and try different things and you could be a jumper because you would never fall all the way to the ground because there'd always be a safety net. You could always come back home and start back. You could go back to your home base where you could get food and you could be warm and you would have a roof over your head and you could go back out into that world and try it again, you know? So to me, that tribe, that support provided my home base where I could start again, you know, where I wasn't at rock bottom because they were lifting me up off the ground. So I really appreciated them and I continue to. And, you know, I think it's my job to reciprocate that and to make sure that if I have people in my tribe who are kind of at their lowest, that I'm providing that support to on a consistent basis.
It's like safety and security, right?
It is.
It's kind of funny you're talking right now. And I'm thinking of when I moved to New York, and those people that provide you safety and security don't have to be those who are closest to you. Mm-hmm. I moved to New York in September of a lot of years ago. I love my sports. I'm a Midwest mm-hmm. girl. And I moved to Brooklyn. And at the time, they weren't really sports oriented. And I was like, man, I need to watch my Notre Dame games. Like,
go this, Irish.
Go Irish. So I called around and I found a bar, just one. It was like it was a 25-minute walk from where I was at. And I didn't care because I didn't care. And I didn't know anybody out there. The guy who owned it loved the Irish, and he told me he'd put it on one TV for me. I was overjoyed. Like, I was mm-hmm. so excited. So I walked to that bar, and I walked in there, and it became a tradition for me. And every time I walked in there, they would be like, Notre Dame! I mean, it was like my cheers bar. Yes. They were my comfort. They were my tribe.
Sure.
In New York. And they didn't know me super well. They knew that I was from the Midwest mm-hmm. and they knew my name and that I loved my football and like those sorts of things. But man, I felt so safe yeah. there. They were going to take care of me.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
I like that. You know, your tribe takes care of you. And your tribe changes throughout the years mm-hmm. too. I mean, when I graduated from college lots of years ago too. And then I decided I wanted to move out to DC. Okay, I knew two people that lived out there, and they moved out there, and so I jumped on a plane and lived out there for almost a year, and worked out in DC. Same thing, like the people that I worked with in this civic education group were some of the most inspiring people I've ever known. I still am friends with them to this day. They became my tribe, mm-hmm. you know, like they were my home away from home. They were my people. You know, I remember one night. Little small town girl, my dad said, be careful out in that damn city. And I'm like, Dad, it's fine. Well, I didn't tell him this until, you know, months and months later. But one night we all went out to this Irish pub and we come back and we were out a little late. And I'm like, it's fine. We'll just take the metro home. Okay. So we get there. Well, the last train had left about 20 minutes before we got there to the metro stop. And I'm like, well, that's fine. It's fine. We'll just walk. We'll just walk and catch a cab. And one of the bus drivers that were there came up and he said, cabs don't come here. And I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. We'll just walk. We'll just walk back to the, and they're like, no, you're not actually walking right now, you know? And so I had my tribe there with me who were like, no, like, look, little country mouse, like, this isn't going to happen right now. So this bus driver took pity on us and, you know, bussed us over to like a stop where we could catch a cab. But it was like you have different tribes and mm-hmm. different points of your life that come and go. And again, it's all back to that support system, mm-hmm. I think. And people who can relate to you and can provide you what you're needing at that point in your life.
100%. And, you know, this is going to sound a little weird, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole with it, but sometimes people who don't feel like they can have a tribe in person, they create their tribe in things that they love, like music.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, we're talking about things that you can relate to mm-hmm. and that really give you comfort and safety. And that's okay, you know? I mean, find something that gets you through, mm-hmm. man. I mean, mm-hmm. it's understandable, but don't sit in the tough times.
Yeah.
You know, reach out to your tribe, whatever that might be, to help you get through.
Yeah, reach out, because chances are there are going to be people in that tribe who are willing to put their hand down and pick you back up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what it's really all about. So I wanted to talk to our listeners about when we talk about the Hustlin' and Heels tribe, you know, hashtag HAH tribe, like come join our tribe. I had the greatest conversation with my dad in the kitchen the other day. So I want to share this conversation. we went out to hunt in the morning, and typically the way it happens, you go out for the morning hunt, you come back in the, you know, around lunchtime, you have some lunch, and then you go back out for the afternoon hunt. It's deer season here in Michigan. I'm a hunter, come from a hunting family. That's what I do. So we come back and we're having lunch, and we're kind of talking about my podcast, and my dad's always kind of my biggest supporter, and he always has these grand ideas all the time growing up. And he said, I love your podcast. I listen to it. But I'm going to tell you, I think that there are more people who could benefit from your discussion if you made it seem like you wanted them to come in. Because when I think of hustling in heels, I think of, okay, professional women that wear heels and go into the boardroom every day. But that's not what your podcast is about. And he said, so this is what it's like for me when I listen to it. It's like there's a group of women in my living room, and they have some wine, and they're having kind of a ladies' night, and they're having a discussion, but it's just women. And they're talking, they're kind of gabbing a little bit. And I'm you know, over back here over in the kitchen. You know, there's a wall surrounding us, but I can kind of hear what's going on. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, like, you know, there's some hens clucking on in there, and they're talking about things that only apply to women. But then as I'm still in the kitchen, and then I start to get kind of drawn into your conversation, and I start to kind of eavesdrop a little bit, and I find myself listening, because you're not talking about things that just apply to women. You're talking about universal concepts that apply to everybody. And that is what people need to know. The fact that your tribe is very inclusive. The fact that, you know, we have the human condition deals with all these different situations, these real life situations, these celebrations and struggles of life and relationships and business and, you know, and all these different things that really people, that all kinds of people can relate to. He said, but I feel like I'm, you know, I'm eavesdropping on it. I can't go in there because that's going to disrupt the magic, but I still want to listen to what's going on because it provides, you know, it really provides some context as to what you all are think is important and what you're talking about, but I can relate on it. I can relate to it on other levels as well. So I loved that conversation because when I think of our Hustlin' and Heels tribe and then I look at our analytics and it shows me that 20% of our listeners are men, I think, well, that's fantastic.
Because it's time for them to come in.
It's time for them to come in. Yeah. So I guess what I want to say is Hustlin' and Heels, our Hustlin' and Heels tribe, it's not Mean Girls. It's not on Wednesdays we wear pink. Like, that ain't it. Do I wear heels a lot? Yeah, but only because I really like them. Because they look good on my outfit. But I don't wear them on the weekends. A lot of times I wear hunting boots or I wear my tennis shoes when I'm out, you know? So Hustling and Heels, the name, is more saying kind of how I live my life. Like, I feel like I'm hustling and I'm running around a lot and I got heels on and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't mean that's it. Like, it doesn't mean that those are the only people who are in on our tribe. We talk about real things that matter to all kinds of people. And we just, again, we want to be that team. We want to be that support. We want to say, oh, you were dealing with that? Oh yeah, me too. How'd you deal with that? Oh, okay, cool. That's a great idea. Thanks. I'm going to try that. Oh, you're here for me too. Oh, you have those same issues going on in your life. You're struggling with those same things. I'll be goddamn, me too. Like, there's that connection that I just wanted to make sure that people know that.
Yeah, I mean, perspectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really all about perspectives. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Being able to welcome different perspectives really expands, I mean, me personally, it expands my insight into life. I mean, so I've had so many male friends, you know, talk to me about things, and men and women just think differently. They just do. And that's part of the reason you need them as your tribe. I mean, and it goes back to having different people for different things. And there are some things that you only go to your girlfriends about, but there are some things that men really just have a different perspective and mm-hmm. a different insight and can help you think a different way.
And I love that.
That's why you include them in your tribe.
Yep.
And that's why we include them in this tribe.
Yep. Absolutely.
And if they want to wear heels, it's cool too.
Yeah. Totally fine. We really don't care about that.
And I bet they can run in them too, which makes me really jealous because I cannot run in heels.
I can.
Of course you can, because you're Wonder Woman.
No. It's cool. I only sang that because my mom, so dang cute. She, like, growing up, she wore heels every day. And I remember her running in those heels, like, just running around, you know, backwards, whatever the hell. She rocked those heels. So whenever I think about heels, I actually kind of think about my mom. Mm. And so I kind of love that part about it. But to capitalize on this whole idea of the fact that we want our tribe to be inclusive. And another reason why we're talking about this tonight is because we have been receiving so much feedback from the men in our audience. Mm-hmm. Both of us, really. And one specifically I want to share, Travis on Facebook. He reached out to me and he sent me a message. And I was like, oh, Travis, that's awesome. And then he shared our Hustlin' in Heels, our latest podcast. And he said, Hustlin' in Heels is not just for the ladies. It is for men also. I have learned a lot from listening to the HIH podcast. Just listen to this podcast, you'll see. And who does not love a glass of wine? So, absolutely. You know, like he's saying, like, look, there are all these, like, these familiar themes that are coming up that we all, you know, we all can learn from.
We all like wine.
We all like wine and we all like, there are these universal themes that we can all relate to. And the whole idea of just surrounding yourself with a tribe of supportive people, the dreamers, the believers, the doers, that's kind of what we're all about here.
Absolutely. And I think that tribe is something that we'll continue to talk about as we take this foray down the season 2 podcast journey.
Yes.
And I'm really excited about it because I've heard from a lot of people different ideas about a tribe, and we're all looking to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so you can't solve it all in one podcast.
No.
Unfortunately. But I'm really excited to continue this conversation and to talk about it.
Yeah, I am too. And I would strongly encourage those of you who are listening, share us with your tribe. Leave us a review.
Please.
Reach out to us. You know what we love? Messages.
Constructive criticism. Like it doesn't have to be... I mean, we love it when you guys love us.
Leave us 5-star reviews. Don't listen to Angie. What are you talking about? No, I'm kidding.
And this is why we're co-hosts. But really, the feedback, like we want you to keep listening. So we want to know what you want to know.
Right.
And, you know, if there's something that we're doing that you don't like, let us know.
Tell us. I'm super open to feedback. I'll definitely listen to you tell me not to do something.
She drinks a lot of wine. I'm the listener over here.
I'm totally open to all your suggestions.
I wish you could see us right now. I'm just shaking my head. We really do want to know, though.
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. So how you can reach out to us by, obviously, following us on Facebook, on Hustlin' in Heels, on Instagram, where we are prevalent on there as well. And I've started tweeting on Twitter, HIHpod.
Really?
Yeah.
Woot.
I'm super new to it. I don't really, like,
tweet, tweet.
I talk all the time. I don't know what to say on Twitter. I'm like, what am I supposed to say on this? I don't know. But, here's the other way that I would love to hear from you is if you shoot us an email at letschat@hihpod.com. That's our email address. I would love to hear suggestions on there. You know, Facebook messages are great as well. Share us with your friends. Leave us some reviews on iTunes. We would love that. And, you know, that'd be awesome. We just want to talk to you. We want you to be a part of our tribe. We want to be a part of your tribe. And we want to talk about things that are real to real people. And, you know, that's what we're here for. That's what we're drinking wine for. That's what we're talking to y'all for because, you know, it's free therapy for us, really.
It really is.
You know, we have long weeks.
And honestly, we walk in here open. Mm-hmm. I think this is an avenue to talk about the things that perhaps you're not always comfortable talking about. Yes. So let us talk about them. But you have to let us know what you want us to talk about.
And then
first,
we'll bare our soul to our thousands of listeners.
100%. I am committed. I'm in.
Cheers.
Cheers. Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to end each episode with kind of like something inspirational that we've looked at throughout the week that would relate to the podcast that we're talking about. So in the very first episode, you'll remember that Angie had this great quote that she read about coloring, crayons, all that kind of stuff. And we love that. That's actually gotten a really great following, and Angie's going to get a tattoo of it someday.
I might. I'm still considering it.
She's going to do it right after she runs the Spartan with me.
I will show you guys all the picture, I promise.
That's right. We're going to do the Spartan, and she's going to get a tattoo. She's going to do the sprint. I'm going to do the ultra. I just signed up for it and paid for it.
I saw. Anyways.
So what we want to do is end the episode with that. So this will also show you, because we each brought kind of a different perspective. So do you want to read yours first? Or do you want to read?
Well, yours is already up. Okay. So go ahead, because you're the planner.
So as we're talking about tribe, here is what speaks to my soul. And I actually shared this on our Facebook page last week. But when I think about tribe, this is what I think of. Tribe, find yours. That shit will save your soul. Period. That's my tribe, man.
I mean, it's true. I get it. I come at it from a different perspective. It's cool.
Shocker.
It's cool. Mine comes from the infamous Shel Silverstein. And it really comes from my fear of entering groups and putting myself out there. And it's something that I have to keep in mind often. And it says, all the woulda, coulda, shouldas laying in the sun, talking about the things they woulda, coulda, shoulda done. But those woulda, coulda, shouldas all ran away and hid from one little did. I mean, and the did is what landed me here. And I am so excited about it, you guys. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. You have no idea how much this has really sparked my life in general. I've kind of found a passion for it. I enjoy talking to you, and hopefully you guys will enjoy talking back.
I love it. Tear. Just love having my Ange across the table from me. All right. All right, listeners. HIH Tribe, you guys are the best. So share us with your friends, both males and females.
All of them.
And reach out to us, because we would honestly love to hear from you. It makes our day. You have no idea how many times we send screenshots back and forth to each other. Oh my gosh, this person reached out to me. Look at this message. It like literally makes our day. So we would love to talk to you. Until next time. Good or bad. Yeah, good or bad. So until next time, tribe, thanks again for joining us.
Hustle on.
That's right. See you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Angie Crocker. All views and opinions expressed on the show are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Angie on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. You can also send the show an email to letschat@HIHpod.com. Feel free to write into the show if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. So be sure to reach out to us if you've got a question, comment, want to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all the ladies have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for their newest episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.